If I would have kept making only the minimum payments on my credit cards, my debt would have taken me 47 years to pay off.
These are real National Debt Relief customers.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out of debt by myself.
Credit card, medical, or personal loan debt? National Debt Relief negotiates with your creditors to reduce what you owe.
National Debt Relief got me out of debt.
You could be debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months. Visit NationalDebtRelief.com to learn more and get started. NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hey, Mel. Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty...
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey! If you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get you that budget. Just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Dead center of our work week right now, baby. And because the weekend brings on more March Madness, we are darn close to the Sweet 16 games tipping off in men's basketball on Thursday and then women on Friday. And by the time we get to next Monday, we'll be down to the Final Four in both men's and women's basketball. You may have seen, I try to find the specific numbers, but the reports out there that March Madness on the men's side and the women's side are setting records for viewership. Now, the men's still far outrate the women's, and that's fine. They're two completely different products. The women are less on national television than the men are, obviously, but there have been record numbers for games on both the men's and women's side. If you're comparing, well, obviously March Madness on the men's side, at least for now, and as long as I can possibly remember, is going to have more viewers than the women. So for those of you who would say the women's tournament is far more exciting and, you know, it's better than the men's and the world is only watching the women, well, that's not accurate. I'm glad you're interested in the women's tournament, and we've got our first ever After Hours Women's Basketball Bracket Challenge. I know producer Jay and I are both entered in it, though I haven't had a chance to check out the various standings for each of our bracket challenges. But there are still plenty of people who are interested in the men's tournament, even if there are some of you who believe that it's lost its luster. Now, and the fact that we've got the top 8 seeds into the men's Sweet 16, meaning all the ones and all the twos, that's going to bring even more fans as we proceed through these next couple rounds, because you're talking about more recognizable brands and power conference schools that are going toe-to-toe. Some real blue bloods, as well as some teams that have a legitimate shot at winning the national championship. As much as we love stories like St. Peter's or Florida Atlantic, as much as we love stories that include any of the Cinderellas and the double-figure seeds, the double-digit seeds, NC State is still in it, an incredible story. But for the most part, this is a top-heavy year in the NCAA tournament, and the ratings reflect that people are really into it now. So we'll get back to hoops coming up on Thursday and then Friday, all the way through the weekend, of course. It's crazy because it's a weekend in which, as we just talked about with Jesse Bradley, who joined us from Seattle, regardless of what faith or religion or you know what your perspective is, Easter weekend for a lot of people, school holidays, work holidays. I know my husband is actually off on Good Friday. I think he's going to work anyway, but it's a company holiday for his company. So there's just a lot of different perspectives on Easter, and a lot of kids have spring break at the high school level as well. And then you throw in the basketball, you throw in the fact that it's the end of March, and so we're talking about heading into April, which is crazy. I actually have to do a final prep for my Syracuse class, which begins under 2 weeks. Oh, it's under 2 weeks from now. But I just did finish my syllabus over this past weekend, and I'm working on, they've locked me out of my email, apparently. I'm only an adjunct professor, so I cannot get into my email or my Blackboard year-round. But they've got to unlock that so I can start posting messages to my students, and I've gotten the rundown on what could be 11 students this year, which is awesome, bigger than last year. But I don't want it to get too much bigger because I expect every student to participate in every conversation, and we go around the table and everybody's got to talk and weigh in. It is a show ultimately about creating content that is both entertaining and compelling. And so if you don't know how to communicate and you can't communicate in class, then how are you going to be able to do it on the radio? So really excited. Got the rundown on the students. It's a good mix. Everything from sophomores up to grad students. The only thing, and I'm still hoping that this will change, is there's one young woman who wants to get into the class. Otherwise, it's all guys. It's fine. I'm used to that in the profession. I can go weeks at a time. Well, months at a time during different stretches in my career, including the first, 8 years here at CBS Sports Radio and go months at a time and never see another female. So it actually isn't all that strange. It's just that I would love to be able to train and mentor and pour into a couple of young women who also wanted to get into radio. But right now the class is all guys. So I'll give them my very best, but I'm hoping, I spoke to the director yesterday and I'm hoping that we'll have at least one female. She's trying to figure it out. She's a grad student and would really like to get into the class. So I am hoping for that. So yeah, there's just a lot happening. Yard work, for those of you who've started, I did share a couple photos of my spring bling on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I don't know if, Jay, you want to post those on Facebook if it's easy to do. But yeah, we've got the daffodils blooming in the back. And up until last Thursday, Bob and I, we hadn't done much yard work. We started doing some clearing and cutting up the old debris and branches. I have this mammoth bush in the backyard. It's part of my rock garden, and I don't cut it back in the late fall or winter. It doesn't actually bloom until the late fall. It's daisy, so it doesn't bloom until the late fall. It's actually still blooming in October and November, and so I never cut it back until the spring. But this year we had a relatively warm February, and because of that, the bush had started to already green up again, and it still hadn't been cut back, and it was hanging over the top of the new daffodil plants that were coming up. So we had to cut everything back on Thursday, which was great. Got the whole backyard cleaned up. Oh my gosh, Bob actually planted grass seed or put down grass seed. I guess you don't plant it. I guess you spread it. This is why I don't do it. He was spreading grass seed on Tuesday because we're supposed to get a bunch of rain on Wednesday and Thursday again. So yeah, we've got daffodils blooming in front and back. The ones in the front, the dog consistently runs over. It drives me crazy. I try to get her to stay away from the daffodils. So far, that's not working. Yes, never wanted a puppy, but I did want a husband, and he comes with a puppy, so yippee. Anyway, yeah, the flowers are getting consistently run over, so I guess that will toughen them up in the front yard. And then we also have the backyard with the flowers, and it's been really cool to have a partner in the yard work. So all that's happening just a few days away from a big round of birthdays in my family, as well as the Masters will be starting. And so it's kind of cray right now. Who has time for football? And yet here comes the NFL. We're inside of a month until the first round of the draft. And so a lot of conversation and chatter around the top half of the draft. Coming up in mere moments, we'll do an extended QB news. All the coaches meeting with the media, with coffee breath and while their mouths are full of egg sandwich. At least that's how I would do it. If you're going to make me talk about football first thing in the morning, I'm having breakfast and people are surrounding me. Well, yeah, I'm going to be eating and drinking my coffee as well. So the coaches are required to be at the league meetings in Orlando so they can hold court and do media sessions. And we found out a lot, but it was interesting to hear their perspectives on some of what's transpired since the new league year started earlier this month and with free agency and everything else. Obviously, one of the top stories in the NFL and really in all of sports right now is gambling and preserving the integrity of the game with everything that swirls around Shohei Ohtani. The question was asked from Roger Goodell as he was delivering his remarks on Tuesday. How is the NFL dealing with what is an increasingly large footprint of legalized gambling? It's nearly 40 states in the U.S. now, and keeping that, not just the integrity, but keeping that separation with athletes and team members and coaches and all that jazz, and making sure that they know that there is no compromise and they know that there's no appearance of evil or of gambling affecting outcomes.
Well, I think like everybody, we're trying to learn and educate, make sure that all of our personnel, not just players, it's all of our personnel, understand the policy, understand the risk and the dangers of that. We've long said that the integrity of the game is number one, and it still is. And so for us, continuing that path, if we see violations, as you know, we've had, I think, 13 violations with players, and I think a couple of dozen more with personnel, both at the league level and the club level. So we've dealt with it very firmly. Our folks, understand that in that room. They understand the risk of that, and we will continue to remind other personnel that aren't in that room and continue our education efforts.
The policies are not the same across the board for all the various sports, but of course, every league has indicated you cannot bet on your own sport. In the NFL, you cannot place bets, whether it's on your own device, whether it's on someone else's phone, for someone else. You cannot place bets on team property. So they've chosen to make facilities the sacred ground, so to speak, where it's a gambling-free zone. Now, in Major League Baseball, some of you are continuing. This drives me a little batty because the situations are not remotely the same. But some of you are continuing to yell about Pete Rose and how Pete Rose needs to be in the Hall of Fame because of Ohtani. I mean, it's amazing how that doesn't even make sense. And yet so many of you are yelling about Pete Rose. The Major League Baseball policy is that athletes and team members, staffers, they can bet as long as it's legal where they live. So the reason that Ohtani, if they can connect him, and I don't know that they can, I don't know the truth. I think it's hard to believe because there's so many holes in the story and because there were two very different versions of the story told by Ipe Mitsuhara, and then by Shohei Ohtani, and the timelines do not match up. So there's lots of things that make me very suspicious. It does smell like you put the package from your salmon into the trash and left it for 3 days. It smells that fishy. But the connection may not be there between Shohei Ohtani and this illegal bookie. Yes, it would be suspension worthy if they could prove that he was placing bets through an illegal bookie. The betting itself is not the issue unless it's the illegal version. There's absolutely no connection, no evidence that Ohtani or his interpreter, former interpreter, ever bet on baseball. All right, that would be the cardinal sin. That's what Pete Rose did. That's why these are not the same thing. In addition, Pete Rose freaking lied about it for 20 years until he could sell a book and make a profit. He bold-faced lied to the commissioner of Major League Baseball at the time. He continued to scream and yell about how he'd been a victim and all this was a pile of crap. But ultimately, he admitted to not just betting on baseball, but betting on his own team. How in the world is that the same thing as Shohei Ohtani? There is no evidence that he bet at all right now, other than if you're going to say, or you're going to make the leap, believe that he and his former interpreter were placing bets together. It's all speculation. There's no evidence. While it might very well have been the case, there's zero evidence that they bet on baseball. Right now, there is international soccer, there's NBA, there's some NFL, I think college football too. Those were the bets that Ipe placed. Whether they were for Shohei or they weren't, those were the sports that he was betting on, not baseball. Pete Rose bet on baseball, including the Reds, and he lied about it. That's not the same thing. So we'll see if Major League Baseball can find some connection and believe that Shohei is guilty of placing illegal bets with this bookie. They'd be illegal because they were in California with this bookie. Well, then, yeah, they're likely to suspend him. But the integrity of baseball, come on, is anybody believe that Shohei Ohtani is out there throwing games? Have you seen the man play? That would be a scandal, to be sure. At this point, Shohei Ohtani and Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame, nothing to do with each other. Like, zero connection. Ah! I just talk with my hands and knock my coffee cup over. Hold on.
Is there spillage?
No, I had finished it all. Straw goes flying. There's still ice, though, in my jug, and so that's why it made that loud noise. Yeah, I'm gesturing wildly with my hands, and I hit the straw that was still standing up on top of the container, and it went knocking the whole thing over, and you hear the ice cubes. See, that's what's in there is their ice cubes.
I thought it was a mess.
No. Are you kidding? There's no coffee left at 4:15 in the morning Eastern time. We're halfway through the show. The coffee is gone. And actually, I need some more water. But no, this is why I leave the top on both my coffee mugs as well as my water bottles, because this is what happens. Anyway, Pete Rose getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame and Shohei Ohtani, not even on the same stratosphere. There's not connected at all, so stop that. But it is a concern for baseball as well as for the NFL, the NBA, any other sport, that as much as they want to get as close to the line as they possibly can, and I mean, they want to stick their whole body over the line, just not their feet. This is like the hokey pokey, right? You're trying to put parts of your body in and somehow still keep your feet on the other side of the line. And I will grant you, very often it's letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. I get that. It's kind of icky that these leagues can have companies that are either gambling, right? So if you're talking about fantasy leagues that are running ads during their games, and it seems incessant, and yet they're going to tell you, no matter what, you should know that we protect the integrity of the game. So they're walking a very fine line and at times not doing it well. But that's the world that we live in, because gambling is now legal in most of the United States. And that's what they've chosen to do because the money that's in it, right? They're not going to turn away the money that comes from the gambling industry. And I don't mean, you know, placing bets. I mean the gambling companies, the sports books, and the various fantasy leagues or companies like that are willing to spend money to advertise with them and serve as corporate partners. I mean, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, said a few years ago, well, if there's money to be made, we want to be a part of that. Well, I mean, at least that was honest, right? So the integrity is something you're going to hear about over and over again, but you're also going to continue to hear about the gambling. And guys are going to get suspended. Anyone who compromises or gives the league any appearance of a compromise when it comes to games and outcomes is going to get suspended as a show, if nothing else. And right now, it doesn't seem to be much of a deterrent, does it? I thought Calvin Ridley would be the only one. Nope. Hasn't ended yet. We still got players who've missed out and team staffers who've missed out because they couldn't stay away from it. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or if you want to see some spring bling, you can find it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. You got a few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're going to get to as much of the QB news as we can, starting at the top of the NFL draft and working our way down. We'll do it that way. And if we can't get to it all, then we'll get to more of it coming up next hour. It's our Hump Show After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
If I would have kept making only the minimum payments on my credit cards, my debt would have taken me 47 years to pay off.
These are real National Debt Relief customers.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out of debt by myself.
Credit card, medical, or personal loan debt? National Debt Relief negotiates with your creditors to reduce what you owe.
National Debt Relief got me out of debt.
You could be debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months. Visit NationalDebtRelief.com to learn more and get started. NationalDebtRelief.com.
Achoo. Bless you. Hey, have you tried Instacart for spring allergy relief? You can order decongestants, antihistamines, and more through Instacart from stores like CVS, Walgreens, and Costco, delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Because those red, watery eyes need relief now. And that sneeze means you do not want to venture out into all that pollen. And that's your cue to download the Instacart app and get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
Back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City! And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh gonna keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We're going to do this a little differently. Instead of going AFC, NFC, or by division where we've got QB news, instead we'll go in draft order and get to as many teams as we can, and then we'll flip a few more into the following hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Make sure to send your last-minute questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. That's coming up following this next update. All right, let's start at the top of the draft with the Chicago Bears. And if you listen closely, you may really be able to pick up on the Bears not holding their cards so close to their vests anymore. But first, General Manager Ryan Poles and Head Coach Matt Eberflus, the end of the Justin Fields era. I'm using my air quotations. It actually predated them, but they were the ones that traded him away to Pittsburgh. So wondering how it ended there. And also, was Ryan Poles surprised that there wasn't a more robust market for Fields?
I was a little bit surprised, but, you know, as you do research and you have conversations, you have to kind of adjust to the market. But I think just with, you know, how other teams are built. Because if you look at the beginning, you know, there's probably teams that are looking at the draft for guys to fill in. On the back end, the playoff teams probably have someone in place. So it really was a smaller pool, you know, of teams.
We'll just continue on some of the install that we installed there in the pro day. We'll just keep continuing on that journey, you know, teaching them more of the offense and then, you know, having him give it back to us and see where he is that way. And he's been great that way. And again, spend some more time visiting with him, and you know, he'll get a chance to spend some more time with the offensive staff, you know, that wasn't there at the pro day, and it's going to be good.
All right, so your host completely messed that up. I called for Justin Fields' response from Matt Eberflus, and instead he was talking about Caleb Williams. So I apologize for that. So first, you hear Ryan Poles talking about the lack of a market for Fields, and really just that a lot of teams had already settled on their quarterbacks or their plan at quarterback. And so for that, knowing the Bears were caught between a rock and a hard place, they weren't going to offer a whole lot. Then you heard Matt Eberflus at his coach's breakfast, and he's talking about the plan there for Caleb Williams, the next step. So I want to play that one again just because it kind of seems like as they take these next steps following his pro day that they're pretty set on him. And here's the and, no longer hiding it.
We'll just continue on some of the install that we installed there in the pro day. We'll just keep continuing on that journey, you know, teaching him more of the offense and then, you know, having him give it back to us and see where he is that way. And he's been great that way. and again, spend some more time visiting with him. And, you know, he'll get a chance to spend some more time with the offensive staff, you know, that wasn't there at the pro day. And it's going to be good.
All right, so again, I apologize for getting those cuts mixed up, but maybe that's some confirmation. And as for his relationship with Justin Fields, he says they're cordial and just recognize it was time for the two sides to move on. It was better for Justin. It was better for the Bears. Again, the writing on the wall now. I hope that more of you are believing that this is what they're doing at the top of the draft, the number one overall pick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Moving on to the team that has the number two pick in the draft. This is the Washington Commanders, and recently hearing from Dan Quinn about what they're looking for in a quarterback.
Honestly, we're still going through the whole process.
Sure.
And you know what's cool? This is a really good crew of guys, you know, that we're getting a chance to evaluate at quarterback and then some other spots as well. So we're fortunate that we're going to be in a spot at a number of rounds. There's going to be some really good players for us. But to say where we're at yet, that'd be inaccurate.
So not even really confirming that they're getting a quarterback, even though that's absolutely what they're doing. And a lot of the talk has been about J.J. McCarthy, though a major debate there. It may not be him. It may be someone else. His pro day went exceedingly well, according to Jim Harbaugh, his college coach, and we'll get to him coming up here momentarily, because at number two, it's the Commanders, and at number three, it's the New England Patriots. And Bob Kraft was holding court on the final day of the league meetings. I've been talking to a lot of people. Now, one of the big topics of conversation was about the Dynasty, the show, the documentary about the Patriots, and some of the ways that Bob Kraft talked about the Patriots' 20-year tenure with Bill Belichick, and about the end of it. So you'd have to go watch it if you want to see all that part of it. Right now, though, it's a new era. They're trying to find their next franchise guy, but there's been some talk that maybe they won't actually draft a quarterback at number three. So you hear the perspective of new head coach Gerard Mayo as well as Bob Kraft.
We sit at a very enviable spot at number three, where we could take someone at three, or, you know, if someone offers a bag, as we would say, a lot of first round picks, we definitely have to, you know, talk about those things as we continue to put together this team. You said it, there are holes on this team, but I would also say there will be people available going forward to fill those holes. The guaranteed way to win is to accumulate more picks. And so if we don't feel convicted at number three, to your point, like, we are willing to do that as well.
One way or another, I'd like us to see us get a top-rate young quarterback.
One way or another, whether it's through a trade or whether it's through the draft, Bob Kraft certainly recognizes that without, let's not call him the next Tom Brady, but without a quarterback who fits what they're trying to do, who is coming along at a relatively high rate of speed and development, right? Because that's the race now with a young QB, to develop him, to know for sure while he's still under a rookie contract, so that you can be damn confident in paying him the going rate for a quarterback these days. It did not develop with Mac Jones, not all his fault. But now as they make all of these wholesale changes in New England, Bob Kraft, he's looking for something special.
In the end, you can't win in this league consistently unless you have a first-rate quarterback and a first-rate coach. On the other hand, you're in different position, and we've never been in the third draft position since we've owned the team. And what happens, a lot of people behind are really desperate to move up, and so we're going to be open to whatever can come our way. But in the end, I'll let the team make the decision what they think is best.
So Bob Kraft uses the word open. Did someone say open? Because that's featured. That's the word, the buzzword for Arizona GM Monty Austinfort, who's got the number four pick.
There'll be a big neon sign that says open, and we'll, I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening. You know, I think, you know, we'll always have the conversation. You know, we may not get to a point where the deal makes sense, whether it's at four or anywhere we're picking, but we're always going to have the conversation. And if it makes sense and it if it's attractive to building our team, and then it's something that we'll certainly consider no matter where we're at in the draft.
So the Cardinals do not need a quarterback. They're not drafting a QB unless something drastically changes. For now, Kyler Murray is the guy. Hasn't even had a full season with Jonathan Gannon as the head coach. Nor are the Chargers taking a quarterback at number five, barring some crazy unforeseen developments. Jim Harbaugh took that job in large part to work with Justin Herbert. And so instead of talking about his quarterback, he was asked questions about J.J. McCarthy, who right now is an attractive commodity in the draft.
That was the best I've ever seen a quarterback do at a pro day. I mean, not only was his feet great in the individual drills and but then he started throwing, and it was like every throw was, you know, right there. I thought our receivers did a great job, too. They all had a great day. But that was the best throwing day I've ever seen.
I love how he operates in hyperbole about his players. The best pro day he's ever seen from the former Michigan QB, J.J. McCarthy. And he does it all with a straight face, too. It's amazing. So we'll see where J.J. McCarthy gets drafted and which of these teams move up, move down. There's a lot of possibilities. Sometimes it just depends upon the deals that are there on the table. Getting to number six, then, John Mara from the New York Giants. I mean, they want to draft a quarterback. They're looking for good young talent, but not entirely giving up on Daniel Jones.
I still have a lot of confidence in Daniel. I think the Daniel that we saw in 2022 is the real deal. Last year, he was hurt. A lot of his offensive linemen were hurt, and things just did not go our way. I still have all the confidence in the world in him. Hopefully, he'll be ready to go by training camp. Yes, I think we all expect him to be the starter in 2024.
All right, so not moving on from Daniel Jones this year, just paid him that big contract. According to the language in his contract, really there's a much greater hit if they were to get rid of him now in terms of dead money and the salary cap, but less of that if they wait one more season. So we'll see what the Giants do at QB, but if Daniel Jones can get healthy coming off the torn ACL, certainly would be more of a veteran presence. And then you have the whole thing with Saquon Barkley, too, and him not being there to offer extra insulation for Daniel Jones as a star running back in this league. So a lot of questions about the backfield and about the offensive line, too, for the Giants.
At the 15, he could not get there.
Which is kind of how it's been since Jones got drafted, and really even before that. All right, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's coming up in mere moments here on our Hump Show. Also on our Facebook page, Producer Jay's got his hands full. You're still asking marriage questions. So check out the latest video on YouTube. Ask Amy walked down the aisle.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Thanks, as always, for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I thank you in advance. I even thank you for the dumb questions, because when your kindergarten teacher said there's no such thing as a dumb question, he completely lying to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, brand new Ask Amy Anything YouTube video, and also right here on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay, I'm hoping he's got some good ones.
Well, you just mentioned kindergarten, and before mentioned the Hokey Pokey. So this one just came in from Heath, who wants to know, what is your favorite children's song?
My favorite children's song. You guys ever heard the one about, let's see, was it the turtle? Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. I actually posted that as part of a blog not that long ago when I was talking about a year full of lessons in patience. So yeah, that's probably the one that my mom would sing to me. And then you keep going around, around, around with this simple chorus, and it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. So, yeah, look it up. Children's song, Have Patience. It's sung by a turtle. Actually, it's sung by a father tortoise to his son, if I remember correctly. It's awesome.
I don't know that one, but it sounds tremendous.
I know. You have to look it up. It's so cute. It'll be stuck in your head, though, forever.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, we got to go here because of all the training and the half marathon coming up this weekend. So Shirley wants to know, when did you run your first half marathon?
That's a great question. I'm pretty sure my first half marathon was in 2016. That was my trip to Oklahoma City to run in the OKC Memorial half marathon because I had lived there for a couple of years, was there when they dedicated the bombing memorial in downtown Oklahoma City. And because I'd had some friends who'd run in the event, they told me it was incredible, and it really was an awesome atmosphere. But one more reason, I had lost a friend who worked in television there in a car accident. He got hit by a drunk driver, and this was the first year after he had passed away. And so for that reason, I was there because I knew they were going to honor him. And they did have a moment of silence for him at the beginning and just paid tribute to him and his contributions to Oklahoma City. And so my first one was in 2016. And since then, despite the cancellations around COVID, I'm supposed to run a Star Wars half marathon at Disney in 2020. That got canceled. I am now about to run my eighth half marathon. The last one was in a tropical storm, and no, I'm not exaggerating, 60 mile per hour winds and a downpour in Jersey City, right across from Lower Manhattan to the Statue of Liberty. I will never do that again. If it's raining on Saturday, I'm staying in bed. But it's supposed to be beautiful weather, and it's supposed to be a flat track. I'm trained, and I'm actually looking forward to it. What?
This one comes from me. What's a Star Wars half marathon?
Oh, you run it at the Disney section of their theme park that is now dedicated to Star Wars. It's got a name. I forgot the name of it.
Galaxy's Edge, I think.
Yes, that's what it is, right? So it's there. It runs in and around there. But in Orlando in April, you have to start at 3:30 in the morning. So it's supposed to be an April half marathon, but you have to start at 3:30 in the morning because, A, the heat, it starts to get hot and humid, but also, B, because they're not going to delay opening the parks for you. And so you get to run through the park and around the area.
Wow.
Right before it's open, but in the dark. But it's apparently a really cool experience, and the medals feature the iconic characters and all that jazz. So I was supposed to run it with a friend of mine who lives in Orlando. We were really excited, but obviously got called off. I wasn't going to do the virtual. I wasn't going to pay to run on my own.
No, that's not the same.
No.
Think people dress in costume for it?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. If right. I ever had another one that was outside of Disney, I would definitely do it.
Sounds awesome. This comes from Mayor, who wants to know, what's the best food for you to eat before your half marathon?
Well, I used to carb load, but I actually don't anymore. I've read that that's not the best thing to do. You could certainly eat carbs in the days leading up to it, but now what I do is a protein, so chicken or fish, as well as a big mess of vegetables, believe it or not. So we're going to do, well, the Hubs is making the dinner. It's going to make chicken on the grill and then also squash, zucchini. It's zucchini, green zucchini. And then we'll also probably have some rice or maybe a potato to go with it. So a little bit of starch and carbs, but for the most part, you're supposed to eat a ton of protein.
Well, we got into the food.
Oh, and drinking water until you float the 36 hours leading up to it.
We got into the food and Bob making food. So Tony wants to know, could you tell me how Bob marinates your steaks, if at all?
You know what? He changes the formula every single time. So he uses different concoctions of brown sugar sometimes, which are amazing. He's done a maple marinade before. He's also just done straight salt and pepper. He's done some soy sauce or Worcestershire, something like that. So I ask, but I let him do what he wants. He surprises me. He is the best when it comes to steaks and fish and chicken on the grill, and then vegetables too. It's oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Follow up from Tony. What type of steak is your favorite?
My favorite?
Yes.
I mean, if I could eat filet mignon every time, I would, but it's probably not possible. So I do a good thin skirt steak. We definitely like, not T-bones. What do we have? Shoot, we had one going back a couple weekends ago for our 3-month anniversary, and I forgot which one it was. I'll see if I can.
A
ribeye. Thank you, Jay. Yeah, it was a ribeye. How did you know that?
Just a
did I
guess.
Tell you that?
You might have
told me. No, they were definitely ribeyes.
Well, keeping it food here. Last week, I believe I asked you what's your favorite meal that Bob cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this week, Willie wants to know what's Bob's favorite meal that you cook.
Oh, so we actually answered this in the video version of Ask Amy Walked Down the Aisle, so I'm not going to answer it. You have to go to our YouTube channel and watch the video because we answered nearly a dozen questions from you about post-wedding, so the marriage part, first 3 months. So check it out on our YouTube channel.
Rich wants to know, do you like dark roast or regular roast coffee?
Yeah, I tend to waffle back and forth between the light roast and the medium roast. As much as I do like a strong coffee, the dark roast is a little bit too dark for me, like dark toast. Once the toast gets brown, I'm out. Like I don't like burnt anything. I really don't. I'm not a big fan. Burnt popcorn is the worst. Oh my gosh. I'm such a dodo. A couple of weeks ago, we were doing popcorn for a movie night, and I felt like Bob stopped the microwave too quickly. And so he puts it back in because I asked him to. And within seconds, the whole kitchen smells like burnt popcorn. I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry. I'll never interfere with your popcorn again. We had to chuck it out. But then we got some extra butter popcorn, so it was okay. Yeah, I don't like anything burnt or anything charred. Or dark or heavy, and so I waffle between the light and the medium.
I like this one from Mitchell, who wants to know what kind of laundry detergent do you use, and has it ever changed for any reason?
Yeah, it actually has. Probably 7 years ago, I decided to go dye-free and scent-free because of some of the reports that have come out about the dyes and the scents that they put into laundry detergent. And so I do dye and perfume-free laundry detergent as well as fabric softener.
Karen wants to know, what's your favorite thing to find in an Easter basket?
Well, anything to do with chocolate. I am a huge fan of Cadbury cream eggs, and I'll get two every year, and I will eat one, and then I'll let the other one sit there as a temptation to test my willpower for a couple of months. They are so good.
Are.
And since I'm running a half marathon the day before Easter this year, I might be able to eat both. Oh, that sounds like I'm a glutton.
No.
One. I'm going to get one.
You earned three at that point. A half marathon? Come on. Let's keep it food. William, we talked about this last week. William wants to know, Chick-fil-A or Shake Shack chicken sandwich?
I don't think I've ever had a chicken sandwich from Shake Shack. I love their shakes, and I love their burgers and fries, Jay, but I've never had a chicken sandwich from Shake Shack, so I'll go Chick-fil-A for chicken, but I'll go Shake Shack for fries and shake.
John wants to know, do you prefer to own a car or a truck?
I've never had a truck. My family's got a truck. My mom and her husband have a 3/4 ton that pulls their fifth wheel. I actually drive Bob's truck. He drove his truck from Texas, and I do drive it, but I'm not a huge fan. I prefer Princess Leia. So I'm kind of a hybrid now, right? Car is a little bit too low for me. Truck is a little bit too big to park in New York City. So I like the SUV that I've got, medium-sized SUV that parks, turns on a dime, gets great gas mileage.
Yep. Speaking of driving, Don says, commuting in and out of New York, New Jersey can't be fun, can it? I guess more of a statement, but.
Right. No, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. I can feel my stress level go up every single time. But I am grateful that we do it at night. And also, I don't work from home. I don't want to work from home. I hate working from home. So the commute is the lesser of two evils.
Last before rapid fire, since you're starting up your teaching again at Syracuse, Mike wants to know, which semester was your favorite when you went to school? Fall or spring, I suppose.
The one where I got a 4.0. I was carrying extra credit so I could graduate with both my degrees my senior year in college. And so they let me carry two extra credits, and I got a 4.0. I'd been working toward it my entire college career, and so I was thrilled with that.
Nice. Steak or brisket?
Steak.
Crust or no crust?
Oh, no crust. No crust.
Three Musketeers or peppermint patty?
Three Musketeers, but I'll prefer Almond Joy if I could have that instead.
Cabana or cabin?
Cabin.
Mini golf or bowling?
Bowling.
Last one.
With real balls, not little balls.
Keep score or play for fun?
Keep score.